It's a lot of people. So, first I want to say thank you to the addicts involved in getting this this convention together. And let's go ahead and give them a round of applause for that. You know, our purpose here is to carry the message to the still sick and suffering addict. And this man was the first man that I heard his message, and the way he expressed his gratitude when he spoke, it was so awakening to me. You know what I mean? I can't really say much about him because he's about to blow it out of the water, in my opinion. But again, I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to serve on this convention. Also myself, it was done for me. So without further ado, JW.
This is the best sponsee I've ever had in my fucking life. I swear to God. I learned a whole lot from him. Let's get ready to recover! You motherfuckers better get ready! 25 years. 25, that's amazing. That's fucking phenomenal. And I will, you may have to wade through some motherfuckers and shit when I die. So if that offends you, tough shit. If you don't have a sponsor, get the fuck out. I don't know what to tell you. 25 years. I heard this story about this thing, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I like the story. So there's this old man that lived in this community, and he would walk everywhere he went, and people would throw these plants away because they were almost dead or whatever, and he would rescue these plants. And he'd get them back to really beautiful plants, and he'd go plant them at night at churches and different places, I guess. Anyway, he did all this shit at night. So people would come to church, and there'd be this beautiful rose bush or whatever it was, you know, and like, they go, how'd that happen? And of course, the preacher would go, well, it's a miracle. Shit. Yeah. God did, you know. Anyway, I'm sure he played the shit out. Now we're going to pass the basket, and maybe another plant will pop up, you know, whatever. But somebody got curious or whatever. And you can tell I really don't know the story. But anyway, they hid and they saw the guy and they said, hey, you know, you don't have to do this in the dark. And so he got to do it in the light. And so out of the darkness, see, it was something like that, wasn't it? You don't fucking know. I mean, these are our predecessors. Anyway, I may or may not have just made the shit up, but it sounded good when I heard it. Out of the darkness into the light. And so I want y'all to do something for me. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, and I want everybody to holler the word we as fucking loud as you can. Except for my wife, she's not, she don't like this kind of shit. But anyway. 1, 2, 3.
Wee!
Oh. Woo! That was pretty good. So I do the key tags at my home group when somebody else don't ask some other asshole to do it. But anyway, I like doing the key tags. And I was looking at the white key tag the other day, and it says, welcome. What are the first two letters of welcome?
We.
Yeah. So we welcome you to the 25th out of the darkness into the light. Yeah, y'all can. I have no idea what the fuck I'm going to say tonight. But I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning. This never really, sometimes I wake up and have to go pee. But this morning it was like, well, I had a coughing fit for one thing. And I woke up and I couldn't go back to sleep. So, of course, I said, I need to go smoke a cigarette. So I went out and smoked a cigarette, and I started thinking about, you know, like, I've been asked to speak, and sometimes I think about what I'm going to say, and sometimes I don't. And the last time I spoke here was on Saturday night. My wife goes, now this is a very important talk. You need to have some notes. Which I don't really know how to write notes, you know? So, but I did. Got up here and I couldn't find them. So I started out, you know, what happened was, and anyway, later on in the talk I found them and they were in the book, and I'm glad I didn't say the notes. So I typed out some stuff this morning at 4:00 in the morning, and they're on my printer at home because I went off and got them. But it was about change. You know, Tammy R., who just celebrated 20 fucking years. I was there the day this crazy woman walked in, and we were sitting there talking, and I wasn't the spiritual guru that I am today, so I was brutally honest back then. And she goes, I haven't seen my PO in 6 months. I wonder what they're going to do. I said, they're going to lock your ass up. That's what they're going to do. But they didn't. And she, like, had 150 fucking forgery charges or some shit, prescription forgeries at that. I just robbed the drugstore. She found a way to just walk in and say, I'd like these drugs, please. And they fucking give them to her, you know? I had to go in through the skylight and fucking rappel down, and it was a lot harder than that. And I got locked up too. So anyway, she didn't. And so we've been on this hell of a journey for the past 20 years. And I'm so grateful to call her my friend. We've lost a lot of people along the way. If you're sitting here today, tonight, and you're still breathing, you have survived your disease's best efforts to kill you. Because that's what it does. Kill, steal, and destroy. And when I give out these white key tags, sometimes I'll say, and my wife, she don't like this part, fuck you, motherfucker! Is what the key tag means to me, to the disease. She said, you're going to have to quit doing that. Those newcomers are listening to you. I hope you're listening. I hope you understand what this means. And the lady that let me borrow this, I don't know if this is your first one or whatever. Was it your first one?
It's actually my fifth one. Last one I just picked up.
So make it your last one.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
If you've only got one, make it your only one. Because the disease ain't never going to stop. I don't care how long you stay clean. My grandpa's sitting there. He's not perfect. He thinks he is, but he's not. And I love him anyway, and he loves me anyway. That's the beauty of this fellowship. You can find your own way in here. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't belong. You have found the place in the whole fucking world. We went to the history thing this today. And what was it, in 59, it almost ended. And whoever the guy was brought the keys to Jimmy Kay and said, you know, I ain't going to do this no more. And he went and talked to somebody else and he said, what are we going to do? Now, there was a choice to be made there. What are we going to do? And I think it was a woman said, well, I can't go to AA. I can't recover in AA. I don't know what, I know that what we heard today is some crazy shit going on in AA back in them days. Way before AA ever got AA. Fuck, they had, anyway, it was some crazy shit, man. a crash committee. You had to have a fucking membership card to get into AA. And if you slipped, what do we call that in Narcotics Anonymous?
Relapse.
A fucking relapse. I slipped. I slipped and fell into that whiskey. I have slipped and fell into some whiskey many times with always the same result. And I actually got, what's the word?
Sober
in 1982. I didn't get clean till 96. Because I didn't talk about smoking weed and taking pills. That was an outside issue. And so that went right over my head. I didn't work steps. I thought alcohol was my problem. Well, actually, my bitch-ass wife thought my alcohol... I thought I had a bitch-ass wife problem. Anyway, not the one I've got now. I've had three other bitch-ass wives besides her. Nothing against the women in this room. I'm sure all of y'all are very healthy. And well, there were a few of you that said, sick. I'm getting better. Contrary to my wife's thinking, I'm getting better. I got this fucker in my head named Jack. He's a sumbitch. You don't want to meet Jack. He's ugly. But anyway, I wanted to talk about change. When I got clean, it was the first day I got locked up, back in April 21st, 1996. It was my clean date. Got locked up on a Louisiana pea farm. I did some time there, and then I went to Texas. I couldn't just get busted in one fucking state. I had to, you know. Anyway, I'm a criminal. I didn't think I was an addict. I didn't know I was an addict. Nobody had ever said, you're an addict, you know. We were fucking outlaws. And dope was part of the way we made money. And so anyway, I got locked up. And most of y'all know I found... a book like this in the Texas Penitentiary called The Introductory Guide to Narcotics Anonymous. And when I opened this book, it was crazy. It says, am I an addict? Only you can answer this question. See, I won't know if you're an addict unless you tell me you are. I don't make judgments, you know, just because you're in a room at an NA convention and you were sick and all this shit. That don't tell me anything other than you'll chant during the fucking readings and shit. Was that inappropriate? I'm sorry. I apologize. It says, do you ever use a loan? Fuck yeah, I'll use a loan. What's wrong? What is wrong with you? You know, my mother taught me when I was a little big kid to share. But she said, if you don't have enough for everybody, don't bring it out. And she's talking about bubble gum and sucker. You know what I'm saying? I know I ain't got enough dope for me, much less Braxton and Travis and especially her. Damn, I know how y'all act, you know. Said, do you avoid people or places that do not approve of you using drugs? What the fuck do I want to go around? Somebody's going to go, I don't approve of that. Does the thought of running out of drugs terrify you? Hell yes. I didn't have a drug problem. I had a running out of drug problem. You know, it says, do you think you might have a drug problem? Am I an addict? This is a question only you can answer. We found that we all answered different numbers of these questions yes. The actual number of yes responses wasn't as important as how we felt inside and how addiction had affected our lives. The first time I read that, the first thing I thought about was my children. I was so heavy with guilt and shame because I'd kept it away from my kids so long, and then I got busted and they found out that their daddy wasn't going to help people move. Their daddy wasn't going to be a cowboy and help them, somebody's cows done got out. Because that's what I'd tell them whenever I'd get a phone call and we'd be outside playing or some shit. I spent a lot of time with my kids, but my lifestyle kept interrupting our time together. And that got heavier and heavier, and I wanted out of it, but I didn't know where to go. The only people that I knew, besides my kids, the only people I ever hung out with besides my kids was just like me. We never sat around and talked about getting clean. I didn't know anybody that had ever got clean. We either got dead or we got locked up. And so I started reading this book, and there's another chapter, another pamphlet in here called Another Look. And there was a lot of things in here that really stood out to me. And I'm not going to read those, but the words that they used I could identify with. The sick, self-seeking, self-centered, self-enclosed world of the addict hardly qualifies as a way of life. At best, perhaps, this is the best it's going to get, is a way to survive for a while. Then it says, and even in this limited existence, it is a way of despair, destruction, and death. Boy, that's attractive. You ever call your connect and they say, you say, hey, what do you got, man? I got an 8-ball of despair. $100. Huh? Got a couple of hits of destruction. And just for you, got a hit of death. I mean, we didn't market our product like that. You know, I never even thought about it that way. But that's the way they describe it here. That had been my experience. Despair. I felt despair most days of my life at some point. Anyway, later on I find a book called It Works. How and Why. I didn't have no idea what the fuck it was. But whatever it was, it worked. And come find out it's these steps. Have you worked the steps? Now, if you got Tammy R as a sponsor, she's going to make you put a fucking puzzle together first. Could be, I told her I'll put one together. They make an 8-piece puzzle. It's got pieces about this big. Usually a little puppies and shit. She said, no, it's got to be at least 500 pieces. Yeah, well, I think Jenny and her husband just got through doing theirs. And, I mean, when your wife gets Tammy R as a sponsor, you might as well go on and get her to sponsor you too, because she's going to try to control your shit. And I love her for that. It gives me somebody else to look at and talk about, you know? And she and I have fucked up more shit clean than most of y'all have fucking lived long enough to fuck up it when you was using. So you can fuck your life up and not put no dope in. Believe me, we've done it over and over. The only thing we didn't do was use. We was miserable. We was combative. We was argumentative. Fuck you, I'm right. She is going to act fucking right one of these days until my sponsor fucked that up and he goes, well, what was your part in that, JW? But motherfucker, didn't you hear what I said the bitch just did? He said, yeah, I've been listening to it for a week. But what was your part in that? I didn't have an answer. Nobody had ever asked me that before. They always jumped on, oh yeah, she's just a bitch, man. I mean, they was in there cheerleading me on. I'd leave her ass if I was you. Well, can I come stay at you? Oh no, you can't stay at my house. No, you can't go to my house. Yeah, my wife is a bitch too. You can't stay at our house. And I used that word back then. The wife I got today, not one time, not once have I thought, and this was a first for me, this ain't going to work out. I'm going to have to get my ducks in a row. I'm going to have to come up with an exit plan. You know, you can go to, now here's a tidbit for you. You can go to Walmart, you can get a fucking TV, a microwave, and a coffee pot, and walk the fuck away from everything else, because you can get it back. But you got to have the necessities, a TV, a microwave, and a coffee pot. You know what I'm saying? You may ride around in the back, well, they're in the back of your car for 2 months, but you got to have that when you get to your place. So I started reading this literature, and some of it perplexed the shit out of me, because I had never been around anybody, anywhere, that knew so much about my life. It was like they was hiding in the bushes and shit. I thought maybe some scientists have come up with some research shit, you know, and like I could see this doctor looking under a microscope at something looking like an amoeba or some shit, you know, and that was it, the disease. Because they kept saying we have a disease and its symptoms and all this shit. I didn't know I had a disease. I did not know that. You know, the first time I used, me and my best friend copped a buzz off some alcohol. All of a sudden, you know, we over there wrestling around on the ground. He sits up and says, I think I'm going to go home and lay down. I said, what's wrong? He said, I feel funny. I said, me too. See, I didn't understand what had just happened. See, his brain, an ordinary brain, says something ain't right. Something has gone askew. You need to go home, lay down, try to let this shit wear off. And he listened to it. You know, that perplexed the shit out of me, because I felt the same way he did. Only my brain said, where can you get some more? Now I'm 10 years old. I can't get it every day. But in my head, I need to go find these people, like my uncle had a bunch of old men hanging around at his house. And they drank all the time. Now, every once in a while, I could squirrel away a beer, but them son bitches drank every drop that they brought most of the time. Now, if one of them fell off the porch and hurt himself and they carried him home, there may be a couple left, you know, and I'd squirrel them away and shit. And but by the time I was 15 years old, it was on. I was skipping school, working in a pool hall, and I got educated. I found my people, and I found the shit to do with my people. And see, I was real good at watching what you do and just copying what you do, you know? So I didn't understand, and even in my head I could see this doctor go to the door, hang his lab coat up, turn the light off, and he left it under the slide. And I thought, I ain't going to be able to do that. If I've got it, and it says it's incurable, but it's treatable. So my daddy had Alzheimer's. Couldn't stop that. I watched my daddy go away a little bit at a time for 10 years before he died. And he had a brain disease. Now it's telling me I got a brain disease. So I got a really good idea of what my parents watched me go away a little bit at a time. You know, that's what that disease gave me, was a bird's eye view of what my parents, how they probably felt, hopeless, helpless, you know, with their son. My dad would come. My mom never came when I got locked up, but my dad would. And he'd look through the bars or he'd look through that glass and he'd go, when are you going to quit doing this shit, man? I don't know. See, I thought that's the way I was going to have to live the rest of my life. I asked people when I got locked up that last time, what are you going to do when you get out? 99% of them said, I'm going to try not to get caught again. So I knew they still was going to do the same shit. I didn't want to do the same shit. I wanted to find something different. Well, when I found this book, stuff began to happen. Things began to perplex me. It gave me a different idea of, well, maybe this Narcotics Anonymous will be different than what I've experienced before. It kept talking about the addicts, the addicts, the addicts. See, I didn't know that the books were written by addicts for addicts. I didn't know that. And then I get over here, there's a place in here, it's on page 10, it's in the first step. And it's about change. It says, recovery begins when we start to apply the spiritual principles contained in the 12 steps of NA to all areas of our lives. We realize, however, that we cannot begin this program unless we stop using drugs. Here's a news flash for you. Stop using drugs. Stop. Just stop. Why can't you just stop? What the fuck is wrong with you? You may have been asked that before. Total abstinence from all drugs, that's a hell of a concept. Does that mean you can't slip? You can't have a slip. Total abstinence is the only way we can become, to overcome our addiction. It's telling me I can overcome this disease that I have. While abstinence is the beginning, our only hope for recovery is a profound emotional and spiritual change. The fuck is that? Emotional. Spiritual. I don't know what that means. Did not have a clue. You get on over into step four, it says the solution to our problem is a profound change. Profound change. Profound change in our thinking and our behavior. That's not even talking about my drug use anymore. This is after I stopped using drugs. Stop using drugs. Stop using drugs. Do you get the concept here? You can't use drugs and expect to have anything different than you had before you stopped. Now, once we stop, that's when the magic happens. We stop. Then what are we left with? Fucking emotional, spiritual, thinking, behavior, our issues, our childhood issues. I had childhood issues. I was bullied as a young kid. Nobody come to my rescue. And when I got big enough, guess what I started doing? I started bullying. I didn't champion the weaker person. That is one of my deepest regrets. And something, there was a red pill, blue pill on Facebook the other day. The blue pill, you got $10 million. Red pill, you could go back to being 6 years old and know what you know now. Fuck yeah, give me the red one. I don't care what else happens, I'm not hurting the people that I hurt. I changed some people's lives. And I get to stand in the stead and help people just like I hurt. I get to stand in the stead for the people that hurt you. My fervent prayer, and I don't pray a whole lot, but I pray that those people's got somebody standing in my stead that can help them move on with their lives. I don't need their forgiveness. I need them to lay down the hurt that I put on. And that's my prayer. And so I have a passion for the people that come into Narcotics Anonymous. See, I've been inside your skin. I may not have had the same experience you've had, but I've had the same feeling. behind that experience. There's a place in the basic text that says recovery is an active change in our ideas and attitudes. And so Tammy makes people look up the 48 must. Yeah, fuck that. Don't tell me I must do a goddamn thing, because I'm going to be in resistance. Unless you got a gun in a bag. And if you show right, boss, shit, boy, what must I do right now? Goddamn, come on, man. Fuck, get on the ground. Fuck y'all, get on the ground. Fucking shit. I didn't like authority. I want to look up the word change, because until I started to do that, I still hurt people clean. I still made people's lives miserable clean. Some of y'all witnessed that were here back then. I had a first time I carried Debbie to a NA function. It was a New Year's Eve function. I got out of the car and I was kind of walking up ahead of her and, you know, hugging folks and everything. I turned around and she's going, like, no, I don't hug, no. Anyway, we get inside and this girl starts speaking. And she gets this part in her talk. She talks about being brutally honest. How many of y'all have ever been told you were brutally honest? Okay, good amount. She said it's more about being brutal than it is being honest. Made me think. Do I want to be brutal in my honesty? I didn't, but I was. My sponsor gave me a great example of being a softer, gentler man than I was. I couldn't do that for a very long time. You know, I grew up with people that shamed each other. That's how we, you know, back in the 70s, we'd do the dozen. You know, your mama's so fat. When they holler, haul ass, you got to make two loaves. And then you'd say something about my mama. You know, and it went back and forth till one of you said something that the other one said, huh, you win. I can't do this with you no more. You crossed the line. And so, that's just the way we did things. And that's what I brought to Narcotics Anonymous. The relationships I had with men were like that. And it got so bad one night, my sponsor said, hey, you might not want to go to sleep tonight because I'm going to beat you to death with a piece of firewood. And so I had to ask for forgiveness. And I really meant it. But when you ask for forgiveness, it's not for you to be forgiven. It's for that person to lay down the hurt. It's for them. It ain't for you. And so one of the responses I got was, well, fuck, you treat everybody like that. Why are you asking me to forgive you? But anyway, to make amends, it's not an apology. Is you don't do it anymore. That's how you make an amends. And so I had to think about that every time I was around this person. And not only around him, but everybody else too. Because if I just practiced it with him and then I treated you bad, it'd be a whole lot easier to just jump right on back on his ass, because he was really easy to do. I mean, it was just easy. And so that him opening that door for me gave me an opportunity to change and to be somebody different. And I'm so grateful. That was a pivotal moment in my recovery. There's a whole lot of things that have happened along the way. I want to talk about this book here, my basic text. In the front of this book, as a matter of fact, when I got it, it was brand new. I didn't get one in prison. I got out, they lost my paperwork, and so I had to go to the halfway house, and my ex-wife said, what do you need? You know, t-shirts, underwear. Well, when I got my box, this basic text was in the box. It was brand new. I opened it up and there's this writing in there, to Kim from Albert, 5-3 of 94. This was around that same time in 98. And so this book had laid somewhere for 4 years. Albert had got this book for Kim when I was still using. And so it was bought in Monroe, Louisiana. So if anybody knows a Kim or Albert from over that way, or if you know anybody, how many Kims are in this? There's a Kim. No, I know it's not you. Is that the only Kim? Is there any Alberts in here? Y'all are not a bit of fucking help, I'm telling you. But anyway, I'm still looking for Kim and Albert. And I asked my ex-wife, I said, how'd you know I didn't have a basic text? She said, I didn't. But every time I talk to you, it's N-A this and N-A that. Yeah, bitch, because you're still using. And you got my children. I got clean, I stayed clean, she did not. And so all my kids had to escape their mother. But I'm still looking for Kim and Al. I told that story. I was a counselor at a treatment center one time, and I was presenting to these young adults. How much time I got, Jim?
I don't know,
J.D. That was awesome. Okay. Anyway, after I told that story, this young lady come up to me, and she said, let me see your basic text. I said, is your mama named Kim? She said, nope. Your daddy name Albert? Nope. She said, I was born on that day. Fuck me up. I said, let me tell you what just happened. I've walked your whole life to get right here right now. You've walked your whole life to get right here right now. I've walked 67 years to get right here right now. There's a whole lot of shit happening in 67 years. I can't get into all that because I only got like 10 minutes left. But what I want to talk about is change, the process of change. The steps are the process of change. Learning about the traditions. When Jimmy Kay said, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to get back to what we had in 1953. See, they had went astray. They had been hollering out in meetings, I'm sick. What about alcohol? Motherfucker, I'm clean and sober. Let me tell you about my sobriety. Get the fuck out. No. We're very tolerant. No, we're very compassionate. And I will get with you after the meeting. And straighten your ass out. The reason we say we're clean, the reason we don't separate any substance from any other substance, the reason they changed the word from alcohol to addiction, because it don't fucking matter what substance you put in. It's all the same result. Fucking addiction takes the power back. See, then the white key tag, that was power. Where is it? What did I do with it? Did I give it? I didn't lose it. Let me tell you the power in this white key tag. When you take your power back, when you take your life back, is when you pick up a white key tag. You tell the disease to fuck off. I'm not going to believe your shit no more. You may not believe mine either. But you know that son of a bitch is lying. You don't know about me yet. But you come go with us and do what we do. That's what my sponsor said. I had no fucking idea what the hell he was talking about. Who is we? See, my mama said birds of a feather flock together. And she talked about our reputation. You know. And I defended those people. And I got what I got. But today I got Narcotics Anonymous has got my back. See, I took my power back. I'm not powerless over fucking alcohol. because I ain't putting none in today. I ain't powerless over any other substance because I ain't putting none in today. You let me take a sip. You'll see a different motherfucker up here. Y'all be going,
somebody needs to do something about that young man. He's causing a disturbance. Can somebody get him a cookie?
Because I ain't as nice as I am today. You know. And you know, the people that were around, Tammy can tell you, we were fucking jerks, man. We were misinformed. We made N.A. a religion. We were called N.A. Nazis. I don't want to be called a fucking Nazi about anything. I don't want to make Narcotics Anonymous a religion. I want it broad enough and open enough that anybody and everybody can come in and find their own way. That's what it says in the third tradition. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. In the, what's the book? We're Guide and Principles book. It says the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using, but that membership requires much of us. So get ready to go to work. Don't sit on the fucking sidelines and wait for somebody else to make the goddamn coffee or clean up a fucking mess or whatever. Look at all these people here. How many of y'all got on your committee?
13.
Huh?
13.
13? 13 people put this shit together. So you can enjoy this. Seek those people out this weekend and ask them, what can I do to help you this weekend? You want 13 people in charge of this shit? I mean, you've seen the guy fumble fuck around up here about the, at the first thing. God, he needed some help. Why didn't somebody get up and help that man? God damn. I am JW and I'm an addict. Get